20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. We are still fresh off a Packers loss to the Chicago Bears, which I have good news. We're not really talking any of that today. If you want to go in that in greater detail, we'll probably cover it with Justice and Paul Farrington and friends later this week. Mike Wall on Pack-A-Day Live today coming up at noon Central Time. If you want to go and get my takes on it, did the episode on Sunday and, of course, the two-hour aftermath right after it and kind of breaking it down. But we don't need to relive that right now. We're going to get a reprieve from it today. And we're going to be going over the vast amount of just decisions that this franchise has to make over the course of this offseason, starting with a pretty significant one that is, of course, being bantered about and bandied about. And, you know, everyone's got their conjecture and what, you know, what should happen to Matt LaFleur. Should he get fired? Should they extend him? Should they just keep him on his deal? You know, we don't know what's going to happen, at least not as I'm recording this. And so that decision looms large, but that is by far and away not the only decision that Green Bay has to make. So we're going to kind of go over what I would consider sort of a checklist slash timeline of what moves Green Bay has to decide between and what they can and can't do. And then also, again, just some of these major decisions that Green Bay has through the course of this offseason. Now, before we get there, quick shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Jake Meets Fish, Kyle Good, Chad Morak, Brett Roll, Donovan, Jim, Andrew G, Hova Zach, Andy Kraftcheck, Popeye's Beef, John Powers, Trent Brigden, TV Living Room, Marciato, and Ethan H. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Appreciate you a ton. If you haven't checked out those memberships yet, always appreciate you doing so. You can find those over on YouTube. Otherwise, if you'd be so kind as to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. And if you're on YouTube, make sure you get those notifications as well. See a lot of time from people that they're not notified or they don't know when a new episode's coming out, when a live show is happening. Get those notifications set up and you'll be notified every time something new is happening on Pack-A-Day. We've got a special guest coming up on Tuesday, which I'm pretty geeked out about. Members will probably get that on Monday. Everyone else will get it on Tuesday. So keep an eye out for that as well. Speaking of you know, what happened this weekend in playoff games, it wasn't, like I said, we're not going to talk Packers, Bears here, but on Sunday, we did get three new results in. Bills beat the Jaguars, a really entertaining game and a big win for Buffalo, one they needed. That Buffalo team is interesting. It's a disappointing loss for Jacksonville. I thought they had a real opportunity to win it. Buffalo comes up with the win at the end. 49ers beat the Eagles. This is one I predicted. I think 3-2 on my predictions going in. Unfortunately, did get that Packers one wrong. Also got the Jaguars one wrong. I thought Jacksonville was going to win that one, but I didn't have any faith in this Eagles team. There's actually a small piece of me, like even going into last week, that when I was thinking about the Bears and the Eagles games, I thought the Bears one would be easier. I think it was. Green Bay just blew it. But there's a piece of me that kind of wanted Philly just because I didn't trust them at all. I just don't think they're playing a great brand of football right now. And they weren't. San Francisco, a very, very beat up San Francisco team, beat them in that game. And then Patriots over Chargers, the one non-entertaining playoff game so far. Low scoring, and the Chargers really never put up much of a fight. We do now know, well, first of all, tonight we get Texans Steelers, which we talked about it last week. I'll talk about it again right now. Could be Aaron Rodgers' last game. So going to definitely be keeping an eye on that game and watching that one with great you know, anticipation. You never know when a legend might be playing his final game, and this could be one for Aaron Rodgers. And then next week, we now know Saturday will be, in some order, Bills at Broncos, 49ers at Seahawks. Those are two really, really good games. Should make for a really fun Saturday. And then Rams at Bears on Sunday, as well as either the Texans or the Steelers, whoever wins this game tonight against the Patriots. So we should get some fun football games next week. And of course, here we are all going to be cheering against Chicago. We get to be Devontae Adams fans again, going against the Bears this week. And outside of that, your mileage may vary on which teams you're cheering for, cheering against, etc. But I think we're all going to be in lockstep and cheering for the Rams against the Bears this upcoming weekend. Meanwhile, we do have some clarity on the Green Bay Packers selection, at least their initial selection in the NFL draft. They would have had pick 20, by the way. So pick 20 is going to go to Dallas in the Micah Parsons deal. So they will not have their first round pick. We knew that already, but now we know that pick 20 goes to Dallas. Their very first pick in the draft will be pick 52. So their initial draft pick in 2026 in the second round of the draft will be pick 52 overall. Could that be used to replace number 52? That's a conversation for later. But yeah, their initial selection in this draft will be pick 52. Of course, they could move up from 52. They could move down from 52. But their initial selection in the second round will be 52nd overall. Now, on Sunday, Matt LaFleur did speak to reporters, had the opportunity to attend that. There wasn't a ton of takeaways from this, if we're being honest. He really refused to discuss his future with the team, said that's more of a, you know, future conversation with Ed Policy and things like that, and just said that his mind, you know, he was more thinking of how he can improve the Packers and focusing on the players and things like that. Probably an easier way to go about it. It's probably a difficult answer to make one way or the other when his future is not in his hands right now. At least you wouldn't think that's Ed Policy's decision, but he didn't really get into it or delve into it at all. I personally asked him if, you know, he's got the 1 year left on his deal. There's eight teams that are out there. If Green Bay goes to him with just the you know, keeping him playing out or coaching out his 1 year remaining on his contract, would that be something he'd be willing to do? And he punted on that as well. Tom Silverstein tried to then basically take the question that I asked and spin it in a different way to get that answer. And he still punted on it, didn't answer it. So we didn't get a ton from that. The biggest thing that we can know from that is he said he was going to have a meeting with Ed Policy sort of about all of it and everything that's going on and all of those sort of things, either on Sunday night or on Monday. So it's possible that, you know, he already had it on Sunday night, or as you're listening to this on Monday, that it's happening at some point on Monday. I saw a lot of people say like they felt like he was not a coach that was speaking to the media as if he was expecting to not be a Packers head coach or to lose his job or anything like that. I had people ask me, hey, if they were going to fire Matt, would they really have him go out for that press conference? If they knew they were going to fire him right away, no, they would not have him go out for that press conference. So that's a good sign for Matt that, you know, they didn't obviously immediately fire him, but this could be ongoing discussions internally. And I would think that, you know, as of right now, Matt's the head coach and they would trust Matt, you know, to go out there as the head coach. He doesn't know he would be gone at this point, that he would go out there and, you know, handle a press conference just like he always would. And so I don't think that they would, you know, have to cut that that press conference while they're making that decision. But, you know, maybe it's a good sign for Matt that he does get that press conference, and that maybe means that they're not going to. As far as like his demeanor, I just thought he kind of avoided that topic of conversation and just sort of said the right things from a head coach point of view of like, we're working on improving. And to be fair, the way that I kind of looked at it too is like he's kind of making his message to Ed Policy of like, hey, I'm not worried about my job. I'm worried about making this team the best that it can be, that his, you know, focus is still on the goal and the task at hand. Who knows? Who knows? We don't know at this point in time. But again, he did not dive into it too much. He did say that his expectation is that Jeff Hafley is going to interview well and get a head coaching position. He later was asked about it and said that it would not necessarily have to be somebody internal or external, that they would exhaust, you know, all options and review everything, so that they would look at external and internal candidates potentially for that job if it opens up and if Jeff Hafley does get a head coaching position. He reiterated that he very much wants to remain the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, said the organization is one of one, that the job is one of one, and that he wants to be here and wants to be the coach of Green Bay. And yeah, I think those were kind of the main takeaways from the overall discussion. There were some things that he talked about from the game. He really thought, you know, he didn't throw just players under the bus, but you could tell he was very upset with the play of the offensive line. You know, basically, you didn't have to read between the lines too much to understand that there were a lot of plays out there for Green Bay to make if the offensive line just performed at their normal level of play. And he seemed pretty upset that the offensive line did not kind of hold up their end of the bargain. I'm sure Zach Tom being out did not help that in any way, but yeah, he seemed pretty frustrated by that. But yeah, there wasn't too many takeaways from the game or anything like that, that he had in that press conference. And again, what we went over already were kind of the keys to that one. It just interesting that they, you know, he does, and he seemed very, you know, expectant that Jeff Hafley's going to get a head coaching job. We'll see if he does. He's got at least five interviews of the eight jobs, And so there is a very good chance that he could ultimately end up with a job. We've seen Jeff Hafley over and over in press conferences. We know how impressive he is, and he's going to interview extremely well, you would think. And we'll see if he ultimately gets that head coaching position or not. That brings us to our main topic for today, and that is this Packers timeline of decisions. And we're going to go through this. There's some different branches that this takes depending on some things that happen. But here's actually, I think, the first one. Here's the first branch of this that I think really probably should take place. And the first branch of this is for Ed Policy to decide the power structure now that he's the president. Does he want to continue with the head coach, the salary cap guru, and the GM all reporting to him? Or does he want to put the GM ultimately in charge and Russ Ball and the head coach would report to Goody? I actually think that that's an important distinction to make first as to how you go about this. All right, so that's probably the first decision for him to make. After that, regardless of what the decision is, I think the next order of operations is to make a decision on Brian Gutekunst. And I'm here to tell you, of all the things that could happen this offseason, maybe the one that would be surprising me the most would be if they fired Brian Gutekunst. Arguably, the top GM candidate that was out there was John Eric Sullivan, who was a Brian Gutekunst disciple. You have to remember, this is an organization. And I get this is Ed Policy's show now. Maybe he does things entirely different, but this is an organization that has not deviated from the Ron Wolf way since he got here. And you can go still read the Ron Wolf way if you haven't yet. I highly recommend it. But I don't think that Ed Policy or anything is going to change them from that sort of way of thinking anytime in the near future. And Brian Gutekunst is the biggest poster boy of the Ron Wolf way. Not all, he does some things different, but of that still way of thinking of anybody in the league. And when you draft Jordan Love as a franchise quarterback, that's going to get you a ton of leeway. And when you've made some big free agent acquisitions, you've had some really impressive late round picks. And then, by the way, like his Achilles heel lately has been his early first round picks. I will just say they still not to expectation, right? But LVN and Jordan Morgan are two players that actually have played well towards the end of the season and have showed more signs of promise moving forward, as is Matthew Golden in this last game. So even that might not look quite as bad as those three have performed better over the last month or so, at least when given opportunities like Jordan Morgan at tackle, LVN coming back from injury, and Matthew Golden more so this last game. So I would be stunned if Goody is going anywhere, but that's the first decision that you make. And then the one after that, and one that actually has to happen pretty immediately, is the Matt LaFleur decision. And we talked about this the other day. If you ultimately are going to move on from him, there are eight other openings. Now, Sean McDermott won, so he probably is not going anywhere. Maybe if they lose next week, they still would, but he's probably not. I didn't talk much about Sirianni. Sirianni is now maybe a little bit more in that conversation, but they just won a Super Bowl last year. I would assume that Sirianni gets a little bit more leeway here and he stays in Philly. The other one would potentially be Mike Tomlin. If Mike Tomlin loses to Houston, are those two ready to go, meaning the Steelers and Mike Tomlin, ready to go in a different direction? But either way, even if no other jobs open up, you still have eight that are already out there. Matt LaFleur and the Green Bay Packers, if going in separate directions, would be the ninth job that would be open. And so you cannot drag your feet. If you want a top-of-the-line coach that's out there, which you can argue even is there that top-of-the-line, you could argue that actually if Matt LaFleur gets fired, he would become the top-of-the-line coach in this coaching cycle. But if you decide to go in that direction, you do not want to drag your feet. You want to get that decision done. And we talked about the other day, if you're trying to get compensation from Miami or Atlanta or some team that's looking for Matt LaFleur, that could make things even a little bit more complicated and make it so that this process takes longer. And if you're Green Bay, you're probably working behind the scenes, because I don't think you want to fire Matt LaFleur or get compensation for Matt LaFleur if you don't have a coach that you are really high on, ready and in waiting to hire as soon as, you know, he's out the door, or at least a really good feel for one, because he is still a good coach. Your mileage again may vary on how you feel about him and if you want him gone or if you want him to stay, but you want to make sure you have somebody in place to replace him if you are going to go in that direction. So that's the next one that they're going to really have to decide, is Do they want Matt here or do they want to go with another coach? And then how do you go about actually doing that? Setting up the interviews, things like that. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, whether you're starting a new routine or making player picks for the very first time, trying something new can be difficult. But in life and on Prize Picks, it always feels good to be right. And with high-pressure playoff matchups every weekend and elite hoops action every night, the action never stops. And Prize Picks lets you take control. Now, I love how simple Prize Picks is to use and how fun it is to play. This football season has been even more fun this year with Prize Picks, and getting in my picks for each slate of game has been a super fun part of each football weekend. And listen, I get we're all having withdrawals from our fantasy leagues being over with, so this is the perfect time to stay in fantasy game mode by using Prize Picks every single week. And if you haven't checked lately, Prize Picks is now available in all 50 states. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And again, make sure that you're using that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. If you do go in a different direction, all right, and Matt LaFleur is out, your next step in this, and this is sort of a different branch, is of course hiring the new head coach. And then the new head coach is going to hire offensive, defensive, special teams coordinators and or keep guys on your current staff. We'll see if any assistant staff would stay, if any of those get fired, you know, do other staff go different places with Matt LaFleur, with Jeff Hafley, potentially. All of those things would be in play, but you'd be looking at basically a pretty big cycle of conversations based on who the new head coach would bring in a lot of these different positions, who's staying, who's going, et cetera. So that would be the big thing there. If Matt LaFleur stays, well, then guess what? We're going to get to that in just a moment. What will happen before that happens, if Matt LaFleur's, so let's say they decide this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe it's today on Monday, that Matt LaFleur is staying and he's signing a contract extension, right? They give him whatever deal that he wants. The one thing that will happen this week before you probably address anything else is that, and I know this is an aside, but Green Bay will decide in their reserve future deals. All right. So practice squad players, Julian Hicks, Keyshawn Johnson, Brant Banks, Dalton Cooper, Carson Barnhart, Drake Dabney, Messiah Swinson, Pierre Strong, Damian Martinez, James Esther, Dante Barnett, Anthony Campbell, Jamin Johnson, Tyron Herring, Mark Perry, and Lucas Haversick. Which ones that they want to bring into the offseason on the 90-man roster to have a chance in OTAs, OTAs, minicamps, training camp, et cetera, to try to earn a job next year. So they'll decide on those. That will happen early this week, probably today on Monday, if not Monday, probably on Tuesday. And then the next one, if Matt LaFleur is back, so we're back to this original timeline now. Again, if you go in a different direction, that's the other timeline. Now we're on the Matt LaFleur timeline. He's back and he's coaching. The next thing for Matt to decide is, what does your coaching staff look like? What changes do you want to make? Or what changes happen to your coaching staff? Jeff Hafley, we talked about him. Matt LaFleur thinks he's going to get a job somewhere else. If he doesn't, Hafley's back. He's the defensive coordinator. If he does, now you're in search of a new defensive coordinator, and that is probably going to take a ton of time, effort, and energy to make sure you vet that out and get that new defensive coordinator right. Guys that I would like to see, Christian Parker comes to mind. I would think Raheem Morris, where that connection from Atlanta would be very much in play. There's a lot of interesting possibilities there, but obviously in-house, is DeMarcus Covington along the defensive line, Derek Ansley in the defensive backfield, but Christian Parker for me, as well as potentially Raheem Morris would be the two that I think would be, two people that Matt would be very interested in. The next one is special teams coordinator, Rich Bisaccia. I don't think Rich Bisaccia is going to get fired, but I do think that there could be a mutual parting of ways and or a Rich Bisaccia retirement. I think, he was ready to retire last year and then Green Bay gave him that extension and whatever. I just think that they might say, we're good. And I think he might say, I'm retiring. Now, that retiring might be like a year off for Rich and maybe he's back next year with somebody else. But I could see some sort of mutual parting of ways retirement, which would open up a special teams coach job. If not, obviously he's back and we get another year of the fighting Rich Bisaccias. Adam Stenovich. I know there's this, groundswell of, an organic movement of get rid of Steno. I still don't know exactly what that's based upon, but it was seemingly came starting with the Matthew Golden comments, which he was just, I think, being transparent with going into the game of what his expectations were, and probably trying to help Golden out of why maybe he hasn't had more receptions and things like that. But I think there's actually a better chance that Steno might get poached somewhere potentially. So here's the big one. Here's the big one to kind of think about. If Halfley gets a head coaching job, right, and needs an offensive coordinator, remember that when Matt was with the Rams, he was under contract as an offensive coordinator with Sean McVay, but he was not calling the plays with the Rams, right? And Tennessee had a job open up for an offensive coordinator with play calling abilities. Sean McVay did not have to let him out of that contract, and he could have blocked that move because it's technically a lateral move. But Matt knows how important that was to him getting a job. If Jeff Halfley were to say to Adam Stenovich, come with me and I will make you the offensive coordinator and you get to call the plays, that's a huge opportunity for Steno. And even if it's not with Jeff Halfley, it could be with Robert Saleh. It could be with a variety of different people. So Steno absolutely could get a head offensive coordinator role where he is calling the plays. And if that happens, Matt could ultimately have an offensive coordinator position available as well. I wouldn't be stunned if that happened. Offensive line coach, Luke Butkus. That seems to be one that has to happen. Offensive line severely underperformed through a huge chunk of the year. DeMarcus Covington on the defensive line. Colby Wooden, I thought, took a pretty solid step this year. But, you know, LVN, maybe a couple signs. Micah was great, but Rashawn Gary didn't look good. Enigbare was kind of up and down. Carl Brooks took a step back. None of your defensive tackles after those guys really did much of anything. And so, you know, I don't think he's going anywhere. But the other thing too is Covington is a former defensive coordinator. For a new head coach that's a offensive mind, if they're looking for defensive coordinators, Covington could certainly be in play for some team. So that's one to watch as well. And then Sean Duggan, the linebackers coach, I think you could argue that maybe this wasn't a great season from the linebackers either. I don't think they'll move on, but just maybe one other name to kind of keep an eye on. Once you get that set and you decide who's back, which coordinators and coaches are here, which ones are leaving, which ones are coming and going, et cetera, then the next thing on your list is to look at your actual roster and figure out any potential releases or restructures. And there are 9 specific players that you're going to have to make decisions on. Now, we're not going to go through these decisions in great deal today. This is probably a different conversation for a separate episode where we dive into these a little bit deeper. But the 9 names include Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs, if you release him pre-June 1st, so the first number is always going to be pre-June 1st. The second one is going to be post-June 1st with a June 1st designation. With pre-June 1st would be an $8.3 million savings. Post-June 1st, an $11.4 million savings. Aaron Banks, $4.5 million savings this year with a pre-June 1st, $18 million in savings with a post-June 1st savings. These are not always the best way to look at these, by the way, which we'll talk about when we break these down in greater detail. My point being here is that there are savings available if you wanted to release these players. Elgton Jenkins, $19.5 million in savings if you release him this year. Rashawn Gary, $11 million with a pre-June 1st, $19.5 million saved with a post-June 1st designation. Isaiah McDuffie, $3.7 million in potential savings. Keyshawn Nixon, $5 million in potential savings. Nate Hobbs, pre-June 1st, less than $1 million, but post-June 1st is $8.8 million. It's a little bit of an interesting one. Trayvon Diggs, his contract's not real, so there's no way we don't really need to talk about his current contract. It's just, do they flat out release him or do they try to find a new contract for him in Green Bay? It's another interesting one. And then Brandon McManus, everyone's favorite right now, $1.9 million in savings if it's pre-June 1st, $3.6 million if it's post-June 1st. So 9 players, you have to make some pretty significant roster decisions on. Josh Jacobs, Aaron Banks, Elgton Jenkins, Rashawn Gary, Isaiah McDuffie, Keyshawn Nixon, Nate Hobbs, Trayvon Diggs, and Brandon McManus. Next up are 4 players that you could do some roster construction with to open up additional free agency money and to get you know, some opportunities to again, start kind of borrowing from the future and opening up this window even a little bit more right now. Jordan Love, Micah Parsons, Xavier McKinney, and Devontae Wyatt all could be players that you look at restructures for, or in the case of Devontae Wyatt, The next one, and this could really happen at any time. This one could be in a different order. It could be before, it could be later, but contract extensions. Tucker Kraft will be going into the final year of his deal. Devontae Wyatt will be in the final year of his deal, as will Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Colby Wooden. There's others as well, like Carl Brooks, et cetera. But those six will be the big ones that I think Green Bay will really be looking at potential extension candidates. Again, Tucker Kraft, Devontae Wyatt, Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, and Colby Wooden. Next up, you have your restricted free agent tenders. And a lot of these, by the way, are interesting. It's about a $3 million salary if you tender them the lowest possible tenure. So Zane Anderson, Darian Kennard, Aaron Mosby, Josh Wiley, Emmanuel Wilson, Jonathan Ford, Chris Brooks, Brenton Cox. My inclination, my first thought on this is I don't think any of those players are actually worth a one-year, three-plus million-dollar contract. I don't think so. Kennard for offensive line depth is an argument to make. Maybe Emmanuel Wilson or Chris Brooks, especially Wilson, if they continue to really like him, maybe Brenton Cox, but you could argue none of them are you know, really worth that. And if you decline the restricted free agent offer, then, or the tender, then they become unrestricted free agents. So that's a decision Goody and company are going to have to make on those particular players. After that, free agency opens up and you have your own free agents that you're going to have to make decisions on. And those decisions include Quay Walker, John Fitzpatrick. I will put Malik Willis on this list, but we know he's going to be gone. So he's technically on this list, but he's long gone. No chance Green Bay's keeping him. Sean Ryan, Christian Welch, Nick Neiman, Romeo Dobbs, Kingsley Nigbare, Rasheed Walker, Desmond Ridder. Those are the big unrestricted free agents. Again, big may, you know, vary depending on the player. Desmond Ridder is not a big free agent, but you get my point. Again, Quay Walker, John Fitzpatrick, Malik Willis, Sean Ryan, Christian Welch, Nick Neiman, Romeo Dobbs, Kingsley Nigbare, Rasheed Walker, Desmond Ridder. Green Bay is going to have to figure out if they want to make them any legitimate contract offers and try to get them in before they hit the open market, or if all of those players are just going to hit open, unrestricted free agency. We'll be right back. Next up is Green Bay making some free agent moves and trades of their own. There are three particular spots that are going to need an influx of talent and certainly competition: offensive line, defensive line, and cornerback. And so what Green Bay does via trade, via free agency, or in the draft, which is coming up next, is addressing those, you know, positions in a significant way. So that's free agency, trades, etc. After that, of course, the NFL draft. Again, no first round pick. So whatever, after free agency, whatever gaps you have, you're going to have to try to fill it with a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round pick, and not having a ton of ammo to move up, down, around. Down you can always move, but up is going to be harder. And it's certainly, if you want to get ahead of 52, it's going to cost you. I don't expect Green Bay to do that, but Goody's going to have to be creative and be really, really on point to try to figure out some value draft picks without having a first overall pick. The next thing is LVN's fifth year option. That is early May that they have to make that decision on after free agency. My gut tells me now they pick it up, but I think it's close, but I do think they pick up the fifth year option on him. If it's me, I probably don't and let him play it out. And if he plays amazing, I'm willing to pay him a little bit more, but I bet they pick up the fifth year option on LVN. And again, that's a decision they'll have to make in May. Then what I would say is you're going to get to mini camps and OTAs and things like that after that. And I would look at the offensive line and say, do you have players in the right spot? I think they're going to have to make some choices. Listen, one of the interesting ones, Jordan Morgan has played really well in his last three games that he's been there at right tackle. Do you want to move Zach Tom to left tackle? Protect Jordan's blind side? Put your best player at the premium position? It's a little less now at left tackle, right? But do you want to put maybe Zach Tom at left tackle? I know I don't really want to move Zach Tom off his spot, but if Jordan looks good at right tackle, Jordan Morgan, maybe you put Zach Tom at left tackle, and then you got to figure out Belton and if Banks is still with the team, do you re-sign Sean Ryan? But are there players that you need to shuffle around on that offensive line to put in better spots? I think that's going to be a big question. And then last but not least is you get to training camp, the end of training camp, and you make your roster cuts, any trades. Maybe they can find another Malik Willis at the end, but that'll be the kind of final big decision-making moments of this offseason. So just to recap it, power structure, decision on Goody, decision on Matt that needs to come pretty quick. If Matt stays, or if Matt goes, then you've got a whole coaching staff that you're going to need to figure out. If he goes, then you're going to have to figure out Matt LaFleur's coaching staff. You've got reserve future deals in there, potential releases or restructures, contract restructures for players that are clearly going to still be on the roster, contract extensions, restricted free agent tenders, signing your own free agents or letting them walk, free agency and trades once the free agency period actually starts, the NFL draft, LVN's fifth year option, maybe some potential position changes, and then roster cuts and releases and transactions at the end of training camp. That's the offseason. And of course, right now, we're all laser focused on what happens to Matt LaFleur. It's going to be a big thing that they're going to want to figure out sooner rather than later. And what happens next, your guess is as good as mine. I even a day more, my final answer yesterday was I think they ultimately keep him. I feel even a little bit more so today, but I still think this thing could go in different directions because I think Matt and the Packers could be well apart on the number, like how much he's getting paid and the years. And that could complicate a lot of things in this process. So those are the order of operations for Green Bay this offseason and how they're going to have to go about attacking this and try to make the best decisions for the team. It is a extremely important offseason. And from really everybody from Ed Policy to Russ Ball to Brian Gutekunst to whoever the coaching staff is, this is going to be a massive offseason for Green Bay. That's why you're going to want to be here 365 days a year as we cover all of it, all throughout the offseason. I'm really looking forward to it. I think this is actually going to be maybe a more fun offseason than it looked like at one point. And right now, the LaFleur decision certainly dominating that conversation. I will see you guys tomorrow. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handel, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkelstinkle, the Gable Storm Pack Attack cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Bill Reinhardt, Richard Morales, Les Knee, now Beast Bumblebee, Ben Sargent, Christian Bradley, Steve Bates, John Mark Lydell, Nemo, Jake Kohner, and Donald Decker. And I lied to you. I will not see you tomorrow. I'll see you later today. Mike Wall live on Packaday Live coming up at noon Central Time on Monday. See you there. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.